The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We are going into our Lunchtime Doctor Special with our special health program featuring Dr. Safia Mohammed. Good afternoon to you, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Tasca. Good afternoon to all of those tuned in for your Lunchtime Doctor. Yes, this is the program where we get to dissect those health challenges, where we offer some solid, grounded advice that will optimize your health, and where we make sure if there's any sort of concerns, be it you, your family member, your loved one, we ensure that you are well on your track to a healthy, happy lifestyle. Call us, let us know what those concerns are. Share with us what's on that lunchtime plate. And of course, I know we have some active listeners who share sometimes updates on what they read on health and if it is absolutely true or if there's any myth that needs to be debunked. All of this and more right here on your Lunchtime Doctor with myself, Dr. Safia Mohammed. And Bass is here too.
Of course, Doctor, well, we have our hotlines, our numbers to call us, 627-3223, 625-2257. That's 627-3223-625-2257. And our numbers are 306-1065.
So in today, our Health Plus, we looked at a very important concern. Today, September, the entire month of September is designated to childhood cancer. Now, this is also something that's close to my heart. And in fact, every day is a day we can indeed discuss childhood cancers. It is something that no family should ever have to go through alone. Why? Because it takes such a toll on the loved ones, the family members, everyone who is going through that unfortunate diagnosis. Just getting a diagnosis of cancer on the whole is troublesome, is difficult, it's challenging, far less when it's a child. So how does one even begin to cope? We interviewed in the Health Plus Guardian, Siobhan Joseph, who is indeed the founder of the Just Because Foundation, a foundation established a number of years ago after the unfortunate passing of their little one. While there are many children who unfortunately have succumbed to childhood cancers, what we do know from the research, what we do know from the innovative strategies and treatments, is that the most effective strategy to reduce this burden is accurate diagnosis, early prompt diagnosis, identifying early, screening early, and of course, support by your entire group, a multidisciplinary support, be it the healthcare professionals, caregivers, the physiotherapists, across the board. That support makes quite a difference in the treatment, in the healing process of anyone diagnosed with childhood cancer.
Of course, our show today has been sponsored by Superfarm. Superfarm, your prescription of trust, and Cetaphil. Right, the number one recommended, doctor-recommended, sensitive skin care brand. I was talking to our good friend, Dr. Ross, in the corridor there, because he relieved me on vibe, and he said you saw him with a vitamin there, and you were going to give a vitamin tip today.
So, Dr. Ross loves these particular vitamins. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is indeed things that we need to accent our diet with ever so often. We can get those vitamins from what we eat, but some are essential vitamins and minerals. So quite often, one question I'm asked is, Doc, which vitamin do you think is necessary? So there are quite a few. I would look at vitamin B12. I would look at zinc. I would look at that mineral called calcium. These are essentials that must be part of your diet. There are the sources of these particular vitamins. And then, of course, there are what we say artificial or over-the-counter sources in tablet form, in liquid forms, that just gives you that additional strengthening either to your immune system, to the nervous system. Vitamin B12 plays a significant role in that nervous system, in the cognitive functioning. We know calcium plays a significant role in our skeletal or muscular system. And zinc in in the immune system. Now, it also depends on the time of the person's life. So if one is during that time of reproductive time where she wants to get pregnant, folic acid is one of those crucial vitamins that you must be taking. Why? Because it helps the development of the fetus. In fact, folic acid is needed in the first 12 weeks of baby's development in utero. So any pregnant mom, quite often we've had in clinic where patients presenting at 8 weeks, 9 weeks, and then they're deciding to take folic acid. That's not the case if you're within that reproductive time and, of course, seeking to become pregnant or looking to develop your family, you should be on folic acid. So there are a host of other vitamins, but those are the ones I would pay particular attention to.
Get some questions that we had from yesterday that we didn't get through. Hi, doctor. I have been experiencing a tingling and burn sensation in my left calf and sometimes under my feet. What could be the possible cause of it, especially when putting it up?
Thank you so much for asking that question. I would want every single person who's tuned in today to make sure they assessed for diabetes and high blood pressure. You see, when that tingling starts, that means there's some level of nerve damage. While it could be other things, and we're going to go through it, the nerve damage is what's crucial and we must rule out. So that would be a neuropathy. After the tingling, it may go to numbness. It may even go to complete loss of sensation. That tingling is the first stage. It may be, just like we mentioned, a vitamin deficiency. Thiamine, vitamin B12 in particular. It may also be compression of the nerves within the skeletal system, particularly at the iliac, at the points within the hip. Or it may be, as we just mentioned, a diabetic neuropathy or hypertensive neuropathy. Yes, high blood pressure and diabetes can lead to that nerve damage. So please, if you're noticing that, get it checked out. And let's make sure we know our ABCs. We'll share what the ABCs are later on in the program.
Let's get a call right now. Of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. Of course, we're being heard right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sangeet 106.1. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Assistant, someone again. He had prostate problems. He went through the whole biopsy, MRI, CT scan. It showed no growth, no cancer. Urine test proved no growth, right? So the doctor, last time when he went to the urology clinic, put him on an antibiotic, I won't call the name, for 24 days, you know, because his prostate kept going from 11. So it actually, during a course of a year, it went up from 11 to about 25. So they doing all the biopsy and they saw no trace of cancer and things. So they realized that this was a bladder infection, right? That is causing the prostatitis and everything like that. You would have more idea than me than that, right? So I'm not questioning the doctor prescription, but little knowledge, that's a long time to take antibiotic, doc. That's the point I wanted to get your views on. Okay, thanks
so much for sharing. Now, I'm not familiar with the entire case, and that's just a very short summary. I don't believe anyone would be on a course of antibiotic if it wasn't recommended or deemed necessary. Here's what happens. Many times, persons might be on a course of antibiotics and it's not completed by the patient. Or the initial course of antibiotics might not be the effective line that will treat the matter, as in the case with your colleague. And that's why there may be a switch of it or an extension of it. So because I'm not familiar with what the patient presented with, I honestly, in this case, can't give that opinion other than if one is prescribed, antibiotics are prescribed, please make sure you complete the course. Because here's what happens. We've had something developing called antimicrobial resistance. Let's say you have a course of antibiotics for 10 days. But after, say, day 7, day 8, which is what most trainees do if they start to feel better, after day 7, day 8, they're feeling better, so they stop the course of the antibiotics, thereby missing 2 days. What may happen? While the person is recovering, they can get a relapse, and now there are still those microbes that are resistant to that specific antibiotic, and now that proliferates. We may need to put the patient on a stronger antibiotic or even extend the course. That's where antibiotic resistance, antimicrobial resistance, can develop. So I really don't know the entire case scenario, but let's make sure if something is prescribed, it is completed all the way through. Hope that answers your question.
All right, good afternoon, doctor. I have osteoarthritis in both knees, and recently I would get a sharp pain on my left knee, will buckle and would fall, and I feel I don't brace myself. No question there, but I'm guessing.
That's okay. I think what they're probably asking is along the lines of the osteoarthritis and why is that buckling happening. Let's understand what is osteoarthritis. Unfortunately, it is one of those disease or pathology processes that the aged person presents with. It is actually a degenerative joint disease, or what we call wear and tear. As we get older, as we get wiser, because we're using those knees, because we're using our hips, our hands, there can be development of this osteoarthritis where the cartilage within the joint begins to break down. That would be why that knee, when you said you were buckle and you may feel like it's not able to support. This is why it's so important that we encourage one from young to be engaged in physical activity, to be engaged in restorative type muscle resistant activity where the joints can be strengthened, the ligaments, the tendons, the muscles around the joints are also strengthened. In your case, here's what I suggest. One, please let's manage the pain of the osteoarthritis. It can be over-the-counter medications, or it can be those that are prescribed by your healthcare physician, even a rheumatologist. Two, let's look at some sort of strengthening exercises. Physiotherapy plays a significant role for patients with osteoarthritis. And when I say physiotherapy, that's just one word, but it encompasses a host of exercises at different joints with your physiotherapist, who is trained specifically in the fields of kinesiology, that's movement, the anatomy of the joint, and they would put together specific exercises. So for this patient who is having the osteoarthritis, when next you go to the doctor, just ask them, what are some of the exercises we can do? Or you may choose to just make that booking with a physiotherapist. Or if you have a loved one close by that can even Google it. Yes, and I did just say Google. There are a host of exercises on YouTube that can be followed. But I always will want to say, let it be recommended by a healthcare professional. There are a host of things you can do. Please don't give up. Have hope.
All right, folks, once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Super Farm. Don't forget, the doctor will be in Super Farm Trin City next week, Tuesday. And, of course, our sponsor, Cetaphil. Let's take a call. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed. A patient who's had a stroke, an elderly lady, she's 91 years old now. She had a stroke 6 years ago. Would she still have pain on the affected side?
I'm so sorry. Yes, she will, because there would have been nerves that are damaged, and there may be what we say, nerve damages and neuropathy. That may present with pain on the affected side. There may also be pain on the side that it was not affected, because that would be compensating for the lack of mobility. Unfortunately, that pain will persist years after, in terms of having when that stroke presented. And this is why we continue to follow up our stroke patients with, as I mentioned earlier, physiotherapy, but a host of rehabilitative exercises. Of course, part of that treatment is not just the physiotherapy, but pain management. I hope that answers your question.
All right, good day, Doc. How often should one drink coconut water?
Well, if I have the opportunity to say how often I drink coconut water, it's every single day. Coconut water to me is God's gift to man, honestly. It is hydrating. There are nutrients and minerals in coconut water as close to our blood composition in terms of your level of sodium and potassium. And of course, you know, it is as natural as possible. There's no filter to it. There's no chemical clearing of it, and there's no additional deposits that you would get out of your normal water supply. So how often? You can have it as often as you want. Just know, however, it will stimulate your kidneys and you might have an increased amount of urination. So if you're having a coconut water, just make sure you have that access.
All right, good afternoon, Doctor. Thank you as always for your informative program. My question concerns, I've recently had a gallbladder removed, but since then I've been experiencing a burning sensation like a fever in between my shoulder blades, right, which is very uncomfortable, to the point where it is hard to sleep. I also feel that sensation in my chest. Can you help me, please?
Oh my, I'm happy that you reached out here in particular. I don't know when you had the gallbladder surgery, but what we have noticed, and this is not just for gallbladder surgery, anyone who would have had surgery, that post-rehabilitation, post-surgery can be complicated by pains in specific joints, the shoulders being one of them. If there wasn't any that level of proper rehabilitation. So with the gallbladder, I'm not too sure what was your eating habits like there after the surgery, if you would have possibly developed reflux. Most patients, if they're not on a structured diet or nutritional plan post-surgery, unfortunately, can develop reflux. That pain that you're experiencing within the chest can be that, but let's also make sure, because anytime I hear pain within the chest, within the epigastric area, within the chest, within the shoulder, I can't remember if it's left or right, but if it's left-sided chest pain, please let's rule out any sort of cardiovascular event. The one thing I hear over and over with family members is they would tell me, especially when they were admitted to the ICU, Doc, he was having that pain about a week ago, you know. I'll tell him go and get it checked out. He didn't listen to me. And that's something you hear over and over. So sometimes we have this pain, we don't know what it is. Be on the safe side. Let's get it checked out, especially in the case of a post-surgical scenario.
All right, another coconut water question. What about diabetics and coconut water? Can we have it in the morning?
So with diabetics, this is the only time we're going to put a little bit of a restriction. Yes, you can have it in the morning. I would go no more than 250 mils. Yes, coconut water does have a glycemic index attached to it, and sometimes it can offset your metabolism. So let's make sure you're having your medications alongside it as well. Yes, you certainly can have your coconut water in the morning.
All right, once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with the kind compliments of Superfarm and Cetaphil. 627-3223, 625-2257. Our good day, Doctor. Does Omega with Curel help with your eyes?
So good question. Yes, the omega vitamins can certainly help support the eye, your eye health. Of course, let's just make sure, as I always recommend, let it be confirmed by your healthcare professional. Because I don't know if you're on any other medications and if there are any contraindications to what you're taking plus these additional medications. Guess what? There is such a thing as too much medication, too much vitamins. So we must always try to balance that out. Hope that answers your question.
I had a person with the gallbladder surgery. They had a message and they said they had this surgery in July.
Yes. So exactly as I thought. The surgery was recent. So let's make sure we get that chest pain checked out.
I know this is a medication a lot of people call about prednisone,
mm-hmm.
prednisone,
a steroid,
right? It's
yes.
a steroid. Somebody said they were put on this steroid for about 2 years. They went to the doctor for asthma, and they should not have been put on this. Now they have developed chronic urticaria mm-hmm. and oedema.
Mm-hmm. Right? So this is a complicated case. Anyone who is an asthmatic, yes, steroid treatments, the inhalers, are always part of that medical management. Sometimes we would place on the tablet form or the oral form of the steroid, it being your prednisolone, as mentioned here. However, it's usually tapered down and it should be monitored closely, because just like some of the medications, if there's overuse of a medication, there can be side effects. I don't know your whole medical history to be able to comment properly that unfortunate side effect of developing a skin infection in terms of the urticaria or any sort of inflamed skin condition can present with persons who are on certain medications for extended periods of time if not properly managed by the healthcare professional. Those are some of the complications of steroids, and that's why we're always very particular when we place a patient on steroid. There's always a tapering. And what do I mean by tapering? We may start it at, say, dose X, and then half to quarter to 1/8 to 1/16. So if it's 8 tablets a day, within the next week it might go down to 4 tablets, the next week it might go to 2, to the next week it might go to half. That's what we call a tapering effect, knowing the complications of extended use of steroid on the body.
All right, and of course the person with the coconut water and diabetic, they say, thanks for the information, my husband will smile. All right. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
I'll start with good news first and then ask a question. I'm 80 years old. 2 years ago, I was, I had surgery for cancer, colon cancer stage 3. I've recovered. I'm recovering. I did a CT scan. I already went through chemo radiation. So the good news is the last CT scan I did, it says that there's no reoccurrence. But one question I have to ask now. I wear pull-ups now. And in the night, my bladder doesn't wake me up in time.
Right.
To empty my bladder.
Okay.
I'll listen off air.
Let's look at that great news first. 80 years, you sound very strong in good health, and the CT scan saying no reoccurrence. We are giving praise and ever so grateful that that's happening. Let's talk a little bit about urinary incontinence, where, as you said, you may not have the timely control, especially in the nighttime. That tends to happen, again, as part of the aging process, because the muscles within the perianal area, within that area, can become weaker. Here's what I suggest. One, let's make sure we get a urology assessment. So you can go back and present to the GP, then they may refer to the urologist, or at least present to the healthcare professional. Let's see if it's a structural concern, or there sometimes can be an infection that may lead to urinary incontinence. All of it is very treatable. You've already braved cancer, faced chemo, faced radiation, and now in good health with no recurrence. So let's deal with this other concern and make sure you're on top of it. Hope that answers your question.
Of course, folks, 627-3223-625-2257. Let's take a break from our sponsors and we shall return with the Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Of course, you could also message us at 306-1065. That's 306-1065.
Hi, sir. You've been here in the aisle for a while. Can I help?
Yes. I'm looking for a multivitamin.
We have a wide range here at Superfarm. Let me get some more information so I can select the best vitamin for you.
See? That's the kind of advice I come for at Superfarm. Well, that and the snacks.
At Superfarm, we have the expertise and advice you count on. Superfarm, your prescription of trust.
Every day, millions of people looking for healthy skin reach for Cetaphil. For over 70 years, Cetaphil has been committed to advancing skin science to provide the best sensitive skincare solutions, partnering closely with dermatologists and healthcare professionals. Cetaphil ensures the safety and efficacy of their products for your skin, from facial cleansers and moisturizers to body care and baby care. Cetaphil is loved by skin. Cetaphil, the number one doctor recommended sensitive skincare brand.
Hi, folks. Let's return to the show. Of course, 627-3223-625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Safia Mohammed. Let's just go over what we can find in our Health Plus in the meantime.
In today's Health Plus, we talked about this very important topic, childhood cancer. To all those who are tuning in, I want to give you that bit of hope that we have been able, right here in Trinidad and Tobago, treat a host of patients under the pediatric oncology ward. Yes, they may start either in Port of Spain or Mount Hope or anywhere across the country, but right here in our oncology wards. The most effective strategy, they say, is identifying the symptoms early so that treatment can start early. So what are those red flags? What are those signs that will urge you on to seek medical help? If your child is having unexplained fever for more than 2 weeks, unexplained weight loss or loss of appetite, changes in the skin, discoloration or paleness, if you find you're seeing them bruised very easily, or if you're also noticing some sort of lump or bump or bruise that is not previously there. If when they're walking, there's a change in it, in their balance or even in their speech, and in their vision. If you're noticing a squint, if you're noticing change in the colors of the eye, or any sort of their usual milestones regressed, let's make sure you present right away to the health center. Why? Because all of these can be signs and symptoms of a childhood cancer. We want to ensure that we can pick this up early and, of course, get treatment started. While it may be the most frightening diagnosis, the most unsettling diagnosis, the sooner we're able to start treatment, the better the outcomes are.
All right, this is one we got to read here. Listen up here, dog. You have your pen and paper ready?
Yes.
All right. A middle-aged male eats meat, chicken, and fish several days a week. Got a stomach gut infection years ago, then started having a tingling and numbness in the toes and feet and extreme fatigue months later. Then problems concentrating, shocking in the fingertips and palms, hands, etc. A nutritionist said to check the vitamin B12, right? With vitamin B12, deficiency only happens in vegetarians. So 5 years later, symptoms progress significantly worse and can't drive or move around, and muscle wasting, right? A neurologist did blood tests and vitamin B12 level was less than 200 PG-ml. Mm-hmm. A neurologist said value should be over 400,
yeah.
And such nerve damage seems irreversible, right? Only B12 injections, if they are skipped, the pain and dizziness worsens severely.
So that's why the those who were listening earlier on would have heard me talk about that vitamin B12 deficiency. You see, especially for our vegetarians, because they may not be getting it in terms of the protein source. You tend to get your vitamin B12 in meats, particularly. When there's that vitamin B12 deficiency, unfortunately, one may present with that same symptoms, the numbness, the paresthesia, muscle weakness, damage to the nerve endings. One may even have problems with balance and coordination. And that's why vitamin B12 or even your folate tends to be very important. We mentioned the folic acid tends to be very important in your entire nutritional profile, especially if you are a vegetarian. So to that person who unfortunately experienced those effects, we really are sorry. Let's hope that you are on a proper regimen now so that there isn't any further damage thereafter. Hope that answers your question.
Hi, good day, doctor. Another one about tingling in the feet, doctor. What causes this tingling in the feet? We get this a lot.
We get this a lot. And what I want to say to anyone who's having that tingling, please consider that a red flag. It will only worsen. It will go from tingling to numbness to complete loss of sensation. You may have damage to your feet that you may not even be feeling. That is typically first stage. We mentioned a host of different causes. So let's make sure we get it checked out.
All right, good afternoon, doctor. I am a female, 210 pounds, experiencing itching, sharp pain, and tingling again in my feet whenever I eat any sugary foods. So far, I'm not diabetic, but I'm hypertensive and have painful heel spurs. Yeah. I also have a pinched nerve in my neck and arthritis in my back. What can be done?
So that's exactly what we talked about in terms of all the different causes that may lead to this numbness, this discomfort, this pain from hypertension. That's okay that you're not diabetic, because we did say hypertension can lead to the neuropathy. We also said the pinched nerve can lead to the neuropathy. So you actually have a coagulation there of signs and symptoms. What can be done? Please, I know you may feel overwhelmed with all of those diagnoses, but there is treatment. First and foremost, we not only want to do medical management, but we want to do some level of rehabilitative management. Here's where physiotherapy will play a significant role. Here's where your nutrition will play a significant role. I don't know what your physical activity is like, but this is where more than ever we need to get the body engaged to ensure that pinched nerve doesn't become even more problematic. There are specific yoga type exercises. One can go into different stretches to help ease the discomfort and the debilitating pain that a pinched nerve can present with, in addition to the medical management. But first step starts with not feeling overwhelmed. Know that there are treatments. Take that next step and seek that treatment. Hope that answers your question.
Let's get a call here. 627-3223-625-2257. Lunchtime, doctor, with the kind compliments of Superfarm and Cetaphil. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You know, I promote myself as a vegan. I even give out my number. I always tell people that I take a fish oil supplement. Now, that's from a fish, but I take it. I'm looking at my health, first of all. And I take a B12 supplement, and I advise them after 2 or 3 weeks, go to your doctor and let him fine-tune you, even though you're telling him that you want to go down the vegan road because, you're persuaded or you're considering it or whatever. Let your doctor fine-tune your supplements. You know, don't just say, don't take the extremist position, because that's not my position. But people can do whatever they want. But my position is I take a fish oil and a B12 supplement. Thank you.
Great suggestions, Dan. I know that voice very well. So your advice is exemplary advice. Yes, we have a lot of vegans in Trinidad and Tobago. In fact, my best friend all through medical school was very much vegan. And this is where we often seek to make sure we got different meals that would ensure we get that balance. Let's talk a little bit about what our vegans go through. What are they prone to? So just like we mentioned, vegans are prone to the vitamin 12 deficiency. They may also be prone to vitamin D deficiencies. They may be prone to iron or iodine deficiencies. That's why the caller would have mentioned he takes that fish oil. That's where he'll get his vitamin D, iron, iodine even. And of course, your vitamin B12. Those are all very much recommended by our healthcare professionals to our vegan community. But as the caller mentioned, make sure you have the conversation with your healthcare professional so you can get that proper, unique advice. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Hello, good afternoon. Yes, hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Okay. I'm an avid listener. Doctor, I just had a total hysterectomy. I'm 50 years of age, like about 3 weeks now, and I find that I'm still bleeding. I went back to the hospital because I was scared and I didn't want to diagnose myself by going to the pharmacy. After seeing the doctor in casualty, they told me it was a side effect of one of the pills that I was taking. And they say it would pass. But I'm still bleeding and I'm still getting a burning when I urinate. Can you assist me? Do I buy a UTI tablet? Or do I just go back to the casualty department?
So thank you so much, and I'm sorry you're going through that array of different medical complications. Yes, post-hysterectomy, one can have that bleed even up to 6 to 8 weeks. So that one is not really considered a complication. That is quite normal in our hysterectomy patients. With respect to the burning, however, I'm pretty certain that may indeed be a urinary tract infection associated to not just the effects of the hysterectomy, but more so the healing process. You may not have felt as compelled to clear the bladder. There may not have been as sufficient hydration post-surgery, so there may have been that accumulation of urine within the bladder that unfortunately may lead to UTI. Yes, very much I would suggest that second suggestion you made, where you can represent to the casualty or represent to any healthcare professional so that they can assess now this additional complication of the burning, which is a UTI, possible UTI, and of course the fact that the bleeding is still continued. Here's what I want you to also note, because the more information we have, the better, the quicker we can come to a diagnosis. I'm sure you're probably wearing a leveler pad in terms of knowing how much of that bleed is happening. A question they often ask is, how heavy is the bleed? When are you seeing it more, in the morning or the afternoon? Some patients, especially post-surgery, may see the bleed towards the afternoon because of the exertion of the day. All of those things can help us pinpoint what is the trigger of the continued bleed. So I hope that answers your question. Let us know what is the result.
Doctor, with the kind compliments of Super Farm and Cetaphil, let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good evening.
Sir.
I am also an avid listener. My situation is, my daughter is 15 years and she has a serious throat infection. Took her to the doctor and the doctor indicated that it's really bad, gave her some antibiotics and some cataplam for the pain. But since then, no change, and it seems as though it has gotten worse. That was since last week, Friday. Can you assist?
I'm so sorry she's in going through that. Now, cataplam would be pertinent pain relief that we would typically prescribe for any throat infection. I didn't quite hear if she was also prescribed on certain antibiotics or if there's any direct anti-inflammatory agent. When I say direct, most times for a throat infection, we may prescribe something called a dissolvable aspirin or Disprin, where that can now be directly coating the throat or the inflamed area. In addition to the cataflam, which is indeed would be through your oral route, so digested there, but we need something topical. Sometimes it may be a spray that does have that antiseptic effect, and that may tend to help tremendously with a throat infection. Yes, as school reopened in fine style, as expected, we had a host of different things presented. That may be from persons who returned from different vacations. We had children presenting with coughs and cold. We even had to do a fair amount of screening for COVID-19. This is not a case of COVID-19, but it is consistent to some of the other cases that would have been presenting in the ER. So my advice to your daughter is, one, let's continue with the cataphysical, or she may need something stronger if there is indeed no resolution on the pain, possibly some sort of antiseptic, or that warmed gargled salt water can also help, or that soluble aspirin that is dissolved, and they typically gargle with it as an anti-inflammatory agent. Hope any of those measures help, and let us know how she's progressing. I sincerely hope it resolves soon.
Dear doctor, what causes a dizziness when standing up from sitting or lying down?
So we see this quite often in patients with postural hypotension. What does that mean? As you move from one posture to the next, be it sitting to standing or lying down to standing, if you move really quickly, you may feel dizzy, you may feel faintish, you may actually have a change in your blood pressure. So it could be that, it may even be concerns with your thyroid or other neurochemical imbalances. Again, this is one of those symptoms to not ignore. Let's make sure we get an ECG sooner rather than later. And if there are any things we need to detect, it will be picked up there. Hope that answers your question.
Hi, doctor. What is hematocrit?
Hematocrit. So, good question.
Right. But they have some
yeah, let's get the values.
Right. I did a CBC recently after almost a month of extreme tiredness. So tired I could fall asleep while standing up in one place. My hematocrit was low, 3.29. Hemoglobin was 10.9. Mm-hmm. RBC was 3.55. And my diet is iron-rich, green leafy vegetables, provision, and liver. I started on iron tablets, but do you think a liquid iron will help me quicker?
So that hemoglobin and the hematocrit, your hemoglobin is borderline low. What we accept as, now I don't know if it's male or female. If it's female, what we accept as a normal hemoglobin value is actually over 12. So 11, 10.9, that's borderline on the lower end. We would want it to be 12 to 15. For males, it should be like 13 to 16, in fact. If it's under, if your hemoglobin reaches under 8, and we recommend transfusions. So you're just 2 points on the lower end, above that lower end. So in combination of the hematocrit and the hemoglobin being on the lower end, there may be some sort of anemic disposition happening. And we want to know, why is that happening? That what you're experiencing as in feeling dizzy means, I'm glad you went and do the CBC, but let's figure out what is causing this lower hemoglobin. Is it that you're losing blood somewhere? If it's female, is there fibroid? If it's male, is there some sort of bleed? Sometimes we see a bleed from a prostate cancer, but it's such a fine bleed that one may not be able to detect it initially. It may even be a bleed from different polyps or even hemorrhoids. So let's make sure we identify what's the reason for the lower end HB. What can you do? I'm glad you said that you're already having green leafy vegetables in your diet. Yes, I would suggest do supplement with an iron or folate to ensure you bring up that HB and of course your hematocrit. keep in mind, here's what some of our patients make the mistake with doing. They may have their iron tablet, but for iron to be absorbed, we must have vitamin C in the gut. So you can have your iron tablet with orange juice to ensure you get that proper absorption. If not, the iron tablet just becomes digested and it becomes part of what is excreted if there's too much within the system. So let's make sure we get to the treatment of why the blood count and the HCT, the hematocrit, is lower. And then, of course, let's make sure we optimize those values. Hope that answers your question.
9 minutes away from 1 o'clock, they're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM, with the kind compliments of Superfarm and Cetaphil. All right, two questions here. Good day, Doctor. How often should a CBC blood test be done? And also, how does someone know if they are lacking in the vitamin Bs, B12 vitamins?
Good questions. So, how often? It's always dependent on gender, male or female, and of course, age. If one is within that time, we're over 40 and maybe at risk of different pathologies, then at least once a year. If there's no reason for it to be off, then you can completely be okay with at least once every 2 years. But it certainly should be checked. But if you're experiencing signs and symptoms, as we've been discussing, weakness, fatigue, you're not sleeping well, make sure we get that CBC checked out. Then you ask a question about the vitamin B12. Yes, there are blood tests that can also help us determine if there's a vitamin B12 deficiency. All of this you can have in that conversation with your healthcare professional.
Hi, good afternoon, Doctor. 10 years ago, a diabetic ulcer broke out under my foot, and the health center took care of it, but it never healed. I started getting a pain. No answer was found even in the hospital. I went private, and the problem was my bone got infected, and the operation now and up to now, my wound has not healed. My diabetic reading has always been below 120. Any suggestions?
Definitely. Now, what we do know with all of our diabetic patients is that there's a delayed wound healing. This is why we constantly pay attention to these diabetic ulcers, and in the treatment of the diabetic ulcers can be quite aggressive. And when I say aggressive, we treat not just the ulcer, but we ensure there's that complete coverage. Yes, your blood sugar is within that normal range, but sometimes we might need to bring it down even lower. So I would suggest under 100 milligrams per deciliter, because the sugar, circulating sugar within the body, will worsen the healing process, so it will delay it even more. It can further complicate the ulcer as well, and the ulcer can now permeate outside of the skin tissue into the bony structure, which is exactly what you mentioned. What I would suggest, and I'm surprised that you said in the health center this wasn't explained to you. Unfortunately, sometimes there may be so many patients that they may not get the time to explain it properly, but I hope we pay that attention to be able for you to understand a little bit better on taking care of your feet. Once an ulcer is presented, the risk of an ulcer developing again is quite high. Taking care of your feet means let's make sure you have proper footwear, cushion socks, so that you don't have any sort of things that can pierce the skin. We also want to make sure that if you're clipping the nails, a podiatrist can be that person that clips the nail, or some sort of caregiver, because sometimes we may not be able to do that proper clipping of the nails ourselves, and if the nail edge can clip into the side of the skin, and that may lead to an ulcer. We've seen that too many times in the clinic. We also want to ensure that your own nail edge doesn't pierce the skin, and that leads to an ulcer. Yes, we have literally seen all of these things in the skin, in the clinic, in our diabetic patients. So let's pay very particular attention for further foot care. Hope that answers your question.
All right, we have 5 more minutes. We have 2 more calls coming in there.
Sure, let's
see them
grab
shortly. 627-3223-625-2257. Go quickly before we leave you out for, of course, today. All right, let's get it. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doc, 20 glucose sugar. I can take a teaspoon every morning. It's not Milo. Is that okay?
So the first question, can you repeat? Is it that you said you take sugar in the morning?
Hello, sir? Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, that's all right. Now, so no, anyone who's taking sugar in the morning, not okay. Not okay at all. Let's make sure if you are, because I did hear Milo, if you want to try for it to be unsweetened, that's pretty okay. If you're diabetic, then we must monitor very closely what is that sugar intake.
Let's take this final call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would like to find out something from Dr.
Please. Sure, you're live on air.
Yeah, about, let me say, it's about 45 years now. I had a ovarian cyst and was operated on. But after a while, about 2-3 years, I noticed, like you see on the cut itself, it is run out of inflammation. And sometimes I will get medication and put on it, it will stop. And then it will come back again. Right now, it is running inflammation. Could you help me out here, please?
I'm so sorry you're experiencing that. Especially as you said, it's 45 years this is happening. It may be that there's some sort of abrasion or opening on the skin tissue that didn't heal well. It may certainly need more than just medication directly. It may need an additional suture, or as Trini say, a little stitch. So that suturing would have been what brings or adheres the skin together, part of the surgical process. Next time you go to the health center or to the private healthcare physician, let them know that this is happening repeatedly and you want to have some sort of curative treatment. I do hope there's resolution to this because I'm very, very concerned.
Once again, of course, a lunchtime doctor with the kind compliments of Superfarm and Cetaphil. We have just about 2 more minutes. Maybe we could discuss or help us again.
So we just want to make sure to all those who are tuning in that if you're familiar with someone with childhood cancer, that you grab your Guardian Health Plus today. Because in it, while we talked about the signs and symptoms earlier, we also talked about ways that you can be provided with that support. Right here in Trinidad and Tobago, there is an NGO called Just Because Foundation that gives parents and families that key support for those who unfortunately have been diagnosed with childhood cancer. In fact, one of the mothers who is the founder to it, Siobhan, she shared it's crucial for anyone who's a parent or guardian or caregiver to be aware of these signs and symptoms of childhood cancer. It can be easily masked by other types of childhood illnesses, and that's why it's important to be assessed by a healthcare professional. She advised, please let us all be vigilant. Early detection can save lives. And that not only applies to childhood cancer, that applies to every possible disease process, especially cancers. If we're able to pick it up in the early stage, then your chemo, your radiation, your medical management is a lot less than if it's later on and your prognosis is better. To all that unfortunately may have these diagnoses, let's make sure we seek proper treatment and seek it in a timely manner.
All right, Doc, well, that's our show for today. All right, of course, the lunchtime doctor with the kind compliments of Superfarm and Cetaphil. Right, of course, heard right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City. And please do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.